These guys are getting me nervous. They told me it's time for me to talk, but they're still up here. What's going on here? This is a curveball. All right, I'll roll with it. I'll roll with it. Hi, my name's Ed. Nice to see you.
In honor of Alan, who you like to have reading the scriptures, but you're going to get me today, so let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to be doing Colossians 3, 16 through 18, a little change up from the bulletin, John 3, 16 through 18, and Colossians 3, 16. John 3, 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the change-up, so it's going to be Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This is the word of God. Please be seated. All right, this is what it said. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what it said. So here we go. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved and sanctified I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. That's the whole sermon, to tell you the truth. If that's true, by the way, thank you. That helped me a whole lot. If that's true, and it is true, about you and about me, then why would we not want to sing, I've been redeemed? Who on earth that's been redeemed would not want to sing, I've been redeemed? When I even think about it, just for a moment, realizing I was a condemned man. I was condemned. I was on eternal death row. That's who I was. I get it. I was condemned to eternally die and to be banned from all goodness. Now, folks, I am just kind of spilling over today because I've had about 6 weeks to say this and knowing it, and I'm just dying to say it here, or living to say it here. I was going to be living in eternal darkness, a place that is nothing but evil, and the phenomenal thing about it, I was part of the evil. It's like, you know, the Star Trek, the Borg, or a conglomerate. I was part of the evil. I contributed to the evil. But God, who is rich in mercy, redeemed me from the pit. He forgave me my sins. Amen. And he took my penalty. He paid the price for my freedom. I could not pay. I could not get out. I was doomed. As a matter of fact, I hated him. He saved me. And all the me, every time you hear me, say me to yourself, okay? He saved me. He forgave me. I am so grateful to God for that. I am so thankful to God for that. I experienced salvation in 75, and it ain't slowed down yet in my heart. My heart sings for joy, and some days it overflows, and today's one of those days. We who believe in and follow Jesus Christ have been redeemed. We have been saved, we have been rescued, we have been delivered, we have been freed from the captivity of the power of darkness. Hallelujah. I mean, think about these words that we use all the time. Saved, rescued, delivered, freed. That's something to sing about. We're in a spiritual dungeon. And the only one, there's only one who could possibly free us. Only one freed us. Freed us. And that's put a smile on my face. Now, I'm not going around smiling all the time, but I smile a lot. But inside this outer layer here, I'm smiling because I've got a lot to smile about. You know, we all know of Brother Andrew Brunson and his imprisonment in Turkey and how the church prayed and the pastor went over and Sam Thielman went over and all that went on. And it often seemed absolutely hopeless for our brother that he would be freed. What a testimony he gives. All right? But then suddenly, he was freed. Can you imagine the smile in his whole being? He was free. He was free. And the smile was on his, not just in him, but his entire family. And Noreen and his children, and certainly Ron and Pam. Everybody's around here smiling. Chris was smiling for like weeks. I remember that. It was just so magnificent. It was hallelujah. What a hallelujah. And Andrew knows better than anybody, that dungeon isn't anything compared to the spiritual dungeon. That's a whole lot worse than the dungeon in Turkey. We've been set free from far worse than any human prison. We've been set free from the powers of hell itself. We have been declared not guilty before God by God. I love that. I love these phrases, you know, that we just take for granted. You know, for Christ's sake, that's such a beautiful phrase. And that a phrase, you know, by God, that's a beautiful phrase. I will not allow it to be co-opted. I've been declared not guilty before God by God. And the supreme judge, Jesus Christ, granted us a pardon. There's no supreme court in heaven. It's not, you know, what was the vote? Is Ed going to be redeemed or forgiven or not? What's the vote? 5-4? Do we have a tiebreaker here? There's one vote, one judge. Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are not going to hell, folks. We are going to heaven. And the wrath of God has been satisfied. He paid for our redemption with his life, with his blood. The life, the blood of the Son of God, the very Son of God. I love to say it. His name, what's his name? Jesus Christ. He came from heaven. He came from God. He came from being in the very form of who he is. God. So that the Bible tells us of him in places like Philippians 2, 5-11. We've been in this a lot lately. Everybody's coming to Philippians 2. I don't know why. But let's take a look at this God. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh my goodness. That's another one. Oh my goodness. God the Son somehow, mysteriously, supernaturally empties himself of being in the form of God. Got me. Takes the form of one of us. I like to think of it this way. He came out of a woman's body. and redeems our souls and gives us eternal life with God. It's true, it's true, it's really, really true. And you betcha, I have bowed my knee at the very name of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, and I have confessed, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my God, my King, my Savior. To the glory of God the Father, he who honors the Son honors the Father, and he who glorifies the Son glorifies the Father. To the honor of God, I bow my knee at the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is his name. The Son of God becomes the Son of Man to take away the sins of the world, to take away the sins of all who believe in him, who follow him, to take away your sins, to take away my sins. Here's Jesus. I feel like a reporter, you know? Here's Jesus. Let's listen in. There's Jesus talking right now. And we've read the scripture already. I'm going to read it again. There's Jesus talking to some guy named Nicodemus. Let's hear what he's saying about all this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now, I get up here about once a year. I'm like the Holiday Inn Fred Astaire guy. If it's around Christmas, I'm here. Anytime I get an opportunity to say the word believe, I've got to say, what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? What does it mean? Does it mean, I believe. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I believe. ROTC. Just remember, it's so easy. ROTC, biblical definition of belief. It's, you know, like I'm going to the Greek and all that stuff, but it's true. R, to believe in Jesus means to rely on Jesus. Put your full weight on Jesus, everything on Jesus. O is obey. Now, you're going to sin. I'm going to sin. I probably sinned already today. But I strive, I yearn, I try to obey my Lord and my God. T is trust. Trust means put something into the care of another. How can I say I trust my soul to Jesus Christ? Something I can't see for amount of time I can't imagine, for forever, but not trust him with my life when things go wrong. But you know, rely, obey, trust, and cling. Cling to Jesus. You know, when the temptations come, when you get sick, when your loved one has real bad sickness, when things happen that are going to happen on this earth, and you're tempted to say, no, where's God? Cling to Jesus. He's going to hold on to you. You're not going to get out of his hand, but cling to Jesus. Say no. To believe in Jesus means ROTC, rely, obey, trust, and cling to Jesus. And you know what God the Father has done for us because we have relied, obeyed, trust, and are clinging to Jesus? Colossians 3, 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Don't ever let this get boring. You know, when Jesus sets us free, he doesn't say, you know, good Presbyterian luck, have a nice life. He rescues us and transfers us, delivers us from one place to another. He doesn't say, you're free, walk out of prison, now have a nice life on this earth. No, he delivers us, he transfers us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom you, me, have redemption. Redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And you know what happens to my heart when I soak this in? I can't play an instrument. I can't sing. I can't go like Chris on the cantata. But my heart sings. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. That's me. Speaking of the cantata, that was something, folks, if you weren't here. Anyway, as Chris introduced much of the cantata, celebrating the incarnation of the Son of God, God the Son, coming out of a woman's body, taking our form, going on the cross, bleeding and dying and washing away our sins, Chris quoted the prophet Zephaniah. And this is what Chris said. And I was sitting right over there, and I'm saying, whoa. Chris said that Zephaniah said that God rejoices over us with singing. You gotta be kidding me. Are you telling me that God rejoices over me with singing? Well, when I heard that, I was taking notes back there in my head, and I was taking notes. And this is what I said, this is what I got. I want to sing back to God, rejoicing over him, rejoicing over us with singing. I want to sing back to God, rejoicing over him, rejoicing over us with singing. Let's just sing to one another. Let's rejoice to one another. So, let me tell you a little more about my Savior, Jesus Christ. People online, I know some of you are out there, have no idea what I'm talking about. Let me tell you a little more about my Lord, my God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. These words are written by one of his apostles by the name of Paul in Colossians 1, 15 through 22. This is who he is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is beginning, firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and beyond reproach before him. Our Creator emptied himself of being in the form of God and became in the likeness of men, born of a woman, and is also known as the Lamb of God. Now, a word about the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, you know, once Adam and Eve and all that sin entered the world, and it's a long story. But God gave a way, called the people to himself, Israelites, and set up a sacrificial system. Now you say, I don't like that sacrificial system. Well, all these lambs are being killed and those birds are being killed. You are not above God, excuse me. And it was a good thing. It was a very good thing. But it wasn't enough. And constantly they were told, you know, to bring an unspotted lamb, the best lamb you've got. But the best lamb they had just wasn't good enough. And they had to do it again. And they had to do it again and again and again. And finally, in God's time, and this is why Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God. God provided the Lamb. The one Lamb, the only Lamb, was spotless. No sin, pure. Pure. And then when I say, behold, when John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, I'm saying, oh my
goodness, the Lamb of God is God. Oh my goodness, Jesus Christ is God. Somehow we've been redeemed through the blood of God. So when I sing, I'm almost finishing. When I sing, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved and sanctified I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. That's why I sing. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world if you believe in him. My God has changed my heart. He took my heart of stone, gave me a heart of flesh that loves him. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. I now have a heart for God. Jesus Christ owns my heart. My heart overflows to God with gratitude and thankfulness. And what happens in my heart often shows up on my face. Ain't that the truth? So there was a guy here. I can't see him anywhere, but I'm looking for him, but I don't see him. But I won't tell you who it is, but he usually sits over there, and his name is not David. That's all I'll say. This guy was just, you know, one of these looking guys, you know. And all of a sudden, one day I saw him and his face was goofy. And I'm saying, hey, what happened to you? Hey. And he it still looked goofy. I said, are you in love? And he got even goofier. What happens in your heart often shows up on your face. All right, there's a fellow I have breakfast with on Thursday mornings. And he was waiting test results to see whether or not he had cancer. And I missed a week when he reported back whether he had cancer or not. And so I came the next week, and his face was just so happy. I didn't have to ask him what the results were. I did. But what happens in your heart often shows up on your face. Now, I have some wild stories in my life. It's, you know, everybody, there are lightning rods and there are lightning rods. And I is one. And Lloyd Davis, my brother and fellow elder, doubts some of my stories. He will come to me later and say, was all of that true? So I wanted to say ahead of time, Brother Lloyd, I'm holding back some of the details. I am. I want to tell you a story about Jackie, a guy named Jackie. All right, so I'm just been saved, or experienced salvation. I'll be very reformed here. I've just experienced salvation. But I got saved through a talk radio show. Leave it to Beaver to get saved through a talk radio show, but I did. And I called in for 6 months arguing with this guy every Tuesday and Thursday night. And he told me I was going to hell, and I'd say, big deal, whoop-de-doo. But eventually, the Holy Spirit got hold of me. Thanks be to God for that man. And I gave my life to Christ, and I called the radio station. I said, I'm one of you people now. I don't know where to go. Where do I meet you people? And they say, go to your local church. I don't know what that means. Could you give me the name of a few local churches? It's not our policy to recommend one church over the other. I go, okay, how about I give you my zip code? Can you go within the zip code? No, go to your local church. Well, that's a story in itself that Brother Lloyd I'll tell privately. But I was saved, I was on fire for Jesus, and I have never yet met another Christian. I felt like I was the only Christian in the world. Well, I had my sister, Arlene. Arlene said, what is going on with you? You're so changed. I said, you got to listen to this guy on the radio. I said, Arlene. I said, there really is a heaven and there really is a hell and there really is only one way not to go to one place and go to the other place. And Arlene, you got to listen to the guy. And so she listened. And now there were two of us who were saved. And this all true.
It's all true.
And then the next thing that happened was that Arlene had our Aunt Marie listen to the guy on the radio. And she said, "Oh my goodness, you were right. You're both right. I thought you were nuts. You're right. I'm following Jesus." And now there are three of us. But we still had not met another Christian. There are just three of us hanging out in the Bronx, having no idea what to do. And the radio guy was not going to help at all. So anyway, finally I heard an advertisement for New York School of the Bible, Calvary Baptist Church, 57th Street. And I said, "Whoa, New York School of the Bible, I can find out more about Jesus." And that's a whole nother story. But anyway, I signed up in that, and I went to a class, and it didn't turn out too well. Because it was flannel graph Jesus, and I didn't know that. But anyway, but it wound up that I was going there on Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights, I go to the Calvary Baptist Church to a service. But to get there from east to the East Bronx, it took a ways. And I think I took two subways. You don't say trains, but two subways. But maybe it was only one. And then I had to get off, and I had to take a bus, the final leg. And where I got off to take the bus to the final leg from 57th Street in Manhattan was a dangerous place for a guy that looked like me. And I'm saying, all right, you know, at least if I die, at least I'm going to go to heaven. So I'm waiting for the bus. And, you know, I'm waiting for the bus. I'm at the bus stop. And, you know, I really want this bus to come. And here comes this drunken guy. I don't have to go through it. Here comes a drunken guy. And I'm saying, oh man, he is gonna hit me up for some money. I don't know how to handle that as a Christian. I don't know what a Christian is supposed to do when people ask me for money. And I said, I said to God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to give money? What am I supposed to do? Well, I never got to that point. Now, the guy is very disheveled, and the closer he got, the worse it got. But he's coming at me, and all of a sudden he stops, and he's doing one of these, you know, he's kind of doing one of these. And he's looking at me, and he yells, I don't know how far away, maybe Chris and me, something like that. Maybe Liberty and me. And he yells, and he goes, "Hey, are you a Christian?" I was ready for anything but that. Because I was looking for some loose change, anything, you know, something. And I said, in a good new Christian kind of way, "Why do you want to know?" All right, buckle up, Lloyd. He said, "Your face, man, your face." I said, "What about my face?" "It's glowing. Your face is glowing, man. You gotta be a Christian." I wish I had a mirror or something. So anyway, true story. So he comes out to me, he says, he really, is it stank or stunk? But whatever, it was bad. And and he says, "You're the man of God my mother's been praying for." I said, "I don't think so." He says, "You're the man of God my mother's been praying for." So we get on the bus together. He gets on with me, and he actually does get off with me. Arthur Avenue in the Bronx. I was living in the Italian-American section, even though I'm not Italian. All right? But that's where I was living. He was living in the African-American section because he was African-American. I went left, he went right. But he gave me his phone number. And he asked me if I would call tomorrow because he'll be sober. And I want my mother to talk to you. The guy's in his 30s. So I call. I have to. I'm a Christian. I call, and I'm invited to lunch. And now, they live in the projects. If anybody knows what that means, it's projects. It's a big, tall building. It's called the projects in New York. I don't know what it's called anywhere else. And it's a rough place for a guy who looks like me. And so I really manned up, and I asked my sister to go with me. True story. So we went, and we got to, we got into the projects, and we got to the apartment, and I went. It was a whole new world. I went into a new world. And so the mother, that she's hugging me, and people who know me, I don't like to get hugged that much. She's hugging me and saying, "You're the man of God. I knew he would send somebody. I knew he would." And she says, and she didn't, I guess she was checking out my face. It wasn't glowing that day. But everything blew my mind. There were pictures of her. See, I wasn't a Christian. I didn't have any church background. I had my own preconceived notions what a missionary looks like with the pit helmet, right? Well, there's this woman. She was a missionary, I guess, with the AME church, my guess. And she was all dressed in white in these pictures in Africa as a missionary, and now she's back, and her son is all messed up, and she's been praying for this man of God, and they think I'm the man of God. While all this is going on, this is where it's a good story. While all this was going on, somebody starts pounding on the door. She goes to open the door, there's a crowd outside. They said, "Is the man of God in here?" And she says, "Yes, he's right here." They want me to go downstairs to another apartment to a woman who's dying and to pray for her. I have never prayed out loud. I don't know how to pray. And I say, and they said, they haul me down there, and my sister, my poor dear sister. And we go in there, and it's an apartment, and the woman is dying, and she's in the bedroom. And there's only a couple people there, and everybody else is, there's a crowd in the living room, and probably a one-bedroom apartment. And they bring me in there, and now the crowd is kind of looking in. And the woman says, "Is the man of God here?" "Yes, we've got him, we've got him." And so I go, have me go by the bed, and she asked me, she said, "Would you pray for me? I'm in a total panic. I don't want to pray. I don't know how to do this." But it gets worse. And she says, "And lay hands on me." True story. Where do I put my hands? And she looks at me and she says, "Oh my goodness, you're in your first love. I have no idea what anybody is talking about." I said, "Lady, I don't know what to do." She said, "Give me your hands." She gives me the hands. She puts them on her head and she says, "Just pray as best you can." Which I did. And Jackie wound up going to church with me, and I wound up going to Wheaton Graduate School in Illinois. I don't know what happened to Jackie, but the last I left, things were going pretty good. Now, why on earth did I tell you that story? What's the point of that story? Why am I delivering this message? Why am I talking about having a thankful heart and changed faces? Because maybe, just maybe, we have lost the joy and the excitement and the astonishment and the awe of being freed from the eternal prison. Maybe, just maybe, God wants you, whoever the you might be, to fall in love with him like your first love all over again and have that silly look on your face. Maybe, just maybe, I'm delivering a message that's meant for you, but there's no maybe. I know it's meant for me. So maybe, just maybe, we can join David in Psalm 51 as he cries out. Psalm 51, 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. The joy of God's salvation, the joy of God's salvation, it's the joy of God's salvation, the joy of God's salvation. May Almighty God restore unto us the joy of God's salvation, folks. May he grab hold of us once again and open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. We want to see you. And I have a special word for those who are in a spiritual prison still. Now, you know, people get saved in very strange places. I got saved through a radio station, as did my sister, as did my aunt. My grandmother got saved, literally, about 78, 79 years old, in a phone booth in a hospital when I'm talking to her. People even get saved in church. People get saved, I don't even know where the camera is, but hello out there. People get saved watching either live or 2 years from now. People get saved in strange places. Do you, who are in a spiritual prison, do you want to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? That's my question for you. Do you want out of life as is? Do you? Do you want to go from here to eternity with God? Do you? If you do, it's going to cost you. And this is what it's going to cost. Your faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Just like I was, and my sister was, and my aunt was, and my grandmother was, and my father was. And you were. Rely, obey, trust, cling to Jesus. It's all a matter of your heart. God wants to change your heart. Let him have it. And for all of us who have pledged our hearts to Jesus Christ, this is the 3-minute warning. I not only say Happy New Year, I say far more than that. Happy new life. Happy new body. Happy new heaven. Happy new earth. Eternal happiness is coming to you. Your Savior is coming back for you. Happy glorifying God and enjoying him forever. One more time for those in spiritual prison. You get 2 shots. This is the last one. I know I don't sound like it. I know I don't look like it. But just take my word for it momentarily. I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And as an ambassador, I offer you eternal life. I beg you, be reconciled to God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be reconciled to God without Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be redeemed by his blood through his mercy. Close with 3 scriptures and 1 more, I've been redeemed. Psalm 106:1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. And Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and sanctified I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Praise the Lord. Thank you.